Welcome to PayPod, the show that features thought-provoking interviews with leaders and entrepreneurs in the payments and financial technology industries. From credit card processing to Bitcoin, we cover it all. So if you want to know what's happening right now in the payments industry, stay tuned. Now, here's your host, Scott Hawksworth.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to yet another episode of PayPod, the payments industry podcast. On this episode, we're going to be discussing something that is very important for anyone out there who is offering merchant services. And that's the answer to the question, what keeps small business owners up at night? If you can help them solve their problems, they'll probably be dying to do business with you. And helping me explore this and answer this is Barry Davis, who is the VP of Business Development at Womply. And Womply is a company that helps small businesses thrive in a digital world. So helping small business owners solve problems is exactly what they do. Barry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for that nice introduction and happy to be here today.
To start us off, can you tell us just a little bit about your career and how you ended up at Womply?
Sure. I have actually worked in the payments industry for over 20 years now. That's gone by pretty quickly.
Sure.
Most of that time has been spent as a consultant. So I've worked for two boutique firms in the payments industry, First Annapolis Consulting and the Strawhecker Group, performed a broad array of services for ISOs and merchant acquirers, such as M&A advisory, valuation work, contract negotiations, market research, and expert legal testimony. So while I was at the Strawhecker Group a few years ago, the owner of the group, Mr. Strawhecker, was commenting that his son owns a Neapolitan pizzeria restaurant in Omaha, Nebraska called Dante's, had just signed up to use Womply's Insights product. And he was ranting and raving about how his son really found this product to be valuable. So that's how I first heard about Womply. And coincidentally, with about 2 weeks after this conversation, I received a call from the Womply president, Corey Kaposha, asking if I'd be interested in a business development role there. So I flew out quickly for an interview, was really impressed with the company, the management team, their view on the future for the company. And I started about 3 weeks after that.
That's awesome. It's always so great how things just seem to line up. You know, you hear about Womply and the next thing you know, you get a call and now you're there. That's awesome. So for those who may be unfamiliar, what exactly does Womply do? What's the Womply story?
So the Womply story is we are a software company and we build products for small businesses. And as you mentioned, we help them thrive in a digital world. And we strive to be the best front office software solution in the market for small businesses. And what I mean by that is our software is focused on helping businesses better understand their competitive environment, to better interact with their customers. And ultimately, we're helping small businesses attract new and repeat customers, retain those customers, and engage with them in a meaningful way. So our software today, it's a SaaS web-based type product that merchants log on to interact with the product.
Fantastic. Today, we want to talk about that because what we want to talk about is what keeps small business owners up at night? Because these are the things that those offering merchant services and more can help solve and increase their value proposition. Now, I know all of this started with a survey that Womply put together covering the small business owners' anxiety index, quote unquote. Can you tell us more about the survey, what it was about, and what were the big worries?
Right. So our market research team does a lot of survey work with small businesses. And in this case, we wanted to get better qualitative and quantitative research on Main Street small businesses. The past few years, we've researched everything from, you know, which threats are most damaging to small merchants' livelihoods, to how they feel about President Trump and how long it takes for small business revenue to rebound to normal levels after a hurricane. This particular survey was meant to reveal the connections between a merchant's optimism level and actions that drive economic growth, like hiring, giving raises, and business expansion. We found that there's a strong correlation between optimism level and intent to hire and expand, and conversely, between pessimism and plans for business contraction. Mm-hmm. In short, merchants' moods matter for local economies. And for this survey, we pulled from our sample list of about 80,000 small business owners across all 50 states and across about 400 different industry categories. And of those 80,000 small business owners, we got 3,000 to complete that survey. Some of the key worries that we identified in our top 10, we had driving more customers, having enough time to do everything in the day, driving more revenue, paying for that health insurance, hiring and retaining employees, the threat of an upcoming recession, and tax issues. Those were some of the big ones that we identified in this research.
For sure. And you know, you did mention that your survey went into splitting optimists and pessimists up, and they each even had different worries in their top five. I'm curious, could you mention what a few of those differences were? And you also mentioned that you sort of split them up partly because you found out that they behave very differently, more expanding or contracting based on the optimism or pessimism. Was there another reason you guys split them up, or was it just to kind of tease out the different worries?
Our market research team gave the most thought to this. I do operate in business development, but they did want to see with the new Trump presidency what the feeling was of business owners out there. We certainly read all the time in the paper about what the everyday citizen feels like, and it was very split, and we found a similar type mentality for business owners. I would say that there were probably more optimistic business owners out there than there were pessimistic.
That's good.
You know, when I looked at the top five worries for a optimistic business owner, it was more just having enough time to do everything, bringing in more customers, controlling cost, hiring and retaining employees, and healthcare expense. And for the pessimistic business owners, we were seeing their top five were making enough money, attracting customers also, the fear of the upcoming recession, how to control cost, and then retaining customers. So it seemed to us that for optimists, time was more valuable than money to them. They were certainly more interested in, you know, bringing on more employees that year, paying them better. And for the pessimist, it was more along the lines of controlling cost, reducing employee headcount, that type of thing.
Sure. And I think it's important to mention that right there, and having that information and kind of understanding what type of business owner you're working with, if you're trying to offer merchant services, wow, what a powerful thing, right?
I totally agree.
Now, you mentioned having enough time for everything, and this was mostly for the optimists here. It's a huge worry for almost anyone, but especially small business owners. How can a service like Womply, when packaged with quality merchant services, help small business owners with that time worry?
Right. Since conducting that survey, our product team has really focused on automating actions for small business owners so that they can really focus on, you know, just running their business. You know, a lot of these folks are sole proprietors, so they're wearing all the hats of that business. So some of these automated actions that we have come out with over, you know, the past few months, for example, is automatically building a customer directory for these small businesses and helping them identify the best customers and their spend behavior. We've also created automated marketing to these customers. Mm-hmm. Our platform is proactively sending out periodic emails to the business customers, welcoming them for the first time, thanking repeat customers, wishing happy birthdays, reminding customers that the business is open on a major holiday, and even helping send out automated targeted offers to consumers with similar spend characteristics.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I love how you did this survey, you took the data, and now you're like, okay, now your product team is like, how can we address this worry with what we've got? How do we build that and help people with that?
Right. And one of the things I wanted to mention here that I forgot was that we hear so commonly from small business owners that I have no time to look at social media and all the profiles that I may have out there. So another thing that we're helping them with is, you know, consolidating all these comments and reviews that may come on five or six different social media sites that the business may be listed on. So Yelp and Google and TripAdvisor, OpenTable, and we will automatically respond to those reviews for that business. So saving those merchants a lot of time on that one.
Absolutely. Now, I'm curious, why has Womply taken the unusual marketing path of partnering with ISOs? And I'm curious, does that represent a big portion of your sales? And what's the benefit case for why an ISO should partner with and sell Womply services to their merchants?
Well, when we first started this business, we knew that we wanted to get our hands on the credit card transaction data out there to power our business insights and analytics portion of our product. And we also knew that ISOs, credit card processors, merchant acquirers were the ones that had access to this data. And they also had distribution to over 11 million small businesses in the U.S. So mm-hmm. that quickly became our target market. So one of our first anchor customers was TSYS, which is one of the leading processors in the industry. So mm-hmm. once we had them as a partner and they were providing transaction data to us, but gave us the confidence that we had picked the right strategy, and it made my job a lot easier as I was out trying to sign up new ISOs and processors
sure.
to offer this product. But you know, the other thing I'd mention there is that for ISOs, we knew they were really hungry for a new value add product, something that's sexy that small businesses would really dig their teeth into.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that you look at the average ISO, they were losing nearly 30% of their merchants every year, just a very competitive market. So we were hoping to make a retention type product for the industry. So consequently, when pitching ISOs, we really market that high value add to the small business owner, along with the 17% increase in retention that we're seeing across the small business owners that are using our product today. So those are big selling points for ISOs, not to mention it's an additional revenue stream for them.
Absolutely. Now, we were kind of talking about the optimists, and a lot of their worries are based around time. But the pessimists, a lot of their worries are based around costs and headcount and things like this. So controlling costs is a thing that many small business owners worry about. It's something that ISOs and others in the payments industry are also, very focused on. They want to give bang for your buck, so to speak. So what does Womply do to offer their services in a way that won't cause small business owners to take a step back due to sticker shock? And do you offer like volume discounts and so on? Or what's your process there?
Right. We don't offer discounts today. But with that said, we think we do a great job helping these small business owners control their costs, especially relative to marketing to their customers. Along with saving them time. So, time is definitely money.
Yep.
And when, we look at other software companies that play in our space, we really think we're value priced. So we see some business insights, customer relationship management software, marketing automation products being sold in the $200 to $500 a month range. So at $40 a month, we feel like our insights product through the ISO channel, is almost a steal. So the way we think about it is, with most of our businesses that we're working with, they're averaging about a half star improvement on their reputation score when you look at them online. And this is driving about a 10 to 20% increase in annual revenues for these customers. So for a merchant who conducts about $250,000 a year in revenue, our product at $40 a month, the return on investment is over 5,000%.
Wow.
Even though there's a cost to that, we're generating revenue significantly for these small businesses. So we feel like this investment is worth its weight in gold.
For sure. And can you actually speak a little bit more to the reputation management? Because I think there's some small business owners out there that aren't totally sold on it, or they don't totally get it. You were talking about managing the social media and things like that. Why is reputation management so important? And you said that you've seen these revenue increases. Can you speak more to that?
Sure. It's really interesting when you talk to these small business owners, they'll tell you what their major issues are, their worries, their top pain points. But one issue for them that they don't even know that they're going through is that their whole world around them has gone digital. Mm-hmm. Nearly 90% of consumers are now going online to look at a small business's reputation score on Yelp, Google, Facebook, TripAdvisor, and many other social media sites before they make that buying decision. So for businesses with less than a 4-star review, those folks are losing customers and revenue. And we know that a 1-star change in a business's social reputation score equates to about a 10 to 25% increase in revenue. So that's a significant amount for a small business owner. And that might be what the owner is paying themselves, might even allow them to add, another 2 to 3 employees.
Absolutely. I want to add to that from just like a personal experience. My wife and I, we recently bought a condo and we moved to Evanston, Illinois, just up from Chicago here. And we don't know what's going on in Evanston. We're still learning. But when I need services, the first place I look is I'm looking at a Yelp. If those stars are like, if I'm between a 3-star or a 4-star, well, obviously I'm going to go with a 4-star. And I, in fact, won't even look at restaurants or businesses or what have you that are below that, because I'm like, oh, well, obviously they're not good. So that right there shows you just on a micro level, the decision making that any consumer is making, right?
That's correct. And, you know, one of the key stats that, you know, I always keep on mind from our market research team is that 94% of consumers out there, they'll do business with the companies that's got a 4 or 5-star review. So that's where we're really focused on trying to get merchants to that level. One thing I wanted to mention to you is when we talk to small business owners, we're using their live data. And when we take them through our free tutorial, they are surprised when they see how many different profiles that they have out there on Yelp, Google, TripAdvisor, and they have no idea that that profile's been there. Oftentimes, they've never claimed that page. They've never seen any of the comments. So for example, we work with a pizza restaurant recently, and when we showed them, hey, you're on 5 different social media profiles out here, they showed up as a massage parlor, a hamburger restaurant, a sandwich shop, a general restaurant, and a breakfast shop. So, you know, if you're a consumer and you're out there looking for a pizza place on Yelp, you would have never found this merchant. So we help them claim those pages, control the content that's on there, and make sure that the information across all the profiles is in sync.
That's fantastic. So sort of shifting gears a bit to customer management, which is also very crucial for any small business. I'm curious, what are some big mistakes you've seen or learned of that our small businesses are making when it comes to customer management, and how can they avoid making those mistakes?
Well, it's interesting because when you talk to a small business owner, most don't even know who their customers are. So our big goal is, you know, whenever we see a transaction, we are trying to place a face, a name, an email address, a physical address, a mobile number. And once we build this customer directory for the small business owner, they can now see who their customers are, where they live, what their spending habits are, who they are.
Right.
And then they've got the ability to reach out with, you know, targeted emails and text and offers. And this is something that small business owner has never been able to do in an easy fashion. So we think that's the big problem for small business owners. And now they can finally, at a very affordable price, interact with these consumers and get them back in the store.
Absolutely. And I think that speaks to something that a lot of people overlook in small business is personalization, the ability to reach out to them. I think you mentioned earlier something about, you know, being able to, if it's their birthday, send them an email or reach out or whatever. These kinds of things in a world where there is just so much noise and consumers are just filtering so much out, to be able to break through that and say, oh, hey, you came to our store 2 months ago and it's your birthday. Hey, here's a coupon or whatever. That is the kind of thing that can be the difference between a sale and repeat business or not, right?
Right. One of our more recent case studies that we did, just released this about 2 weeks ago, was a bookstore in Kansas City. And the owner there, she thought most of her customers were repeat customers. And once she started using Womply software, she discovered two things. One, that she had a lot of new customers, and that there were high growth areas in her area where she had few customers. Consequently, she utilized Womply's auto marketing capabilities to send emails to new customers, get them back in the store again. And we know that repeat customers are spending more money than new customers, and we know they're cheaper to retain than to bring in, you know, acquire new customers. And she also sent out direct mail in these areas where she was underrepresented, but they were high growth areas. So this drove some revenue for her. And this past year, I think she generated $35,000 in revenue. And with Womply's help here, she actually sees a run rate of driving $1 million in revenue over the next 2 years. So
wow,
big difference for her.
I would say so. And that's your case study right there. That's awesome. Now, okay, if you can peer into the crystal ball for us, where do you see Womply in, say, 5 to 10 years? You know, are there any long-term projects you guys are working on or overall goals that you can share, things coming down the pipeline that you think businesses might really benefit from and be really excited about?
You know, I think it's safe to say that we're focused on saving small business owners time. And with all the data that we've accumulated, we're actually receiving data on about 5 million small businesses every day. So the larger that database gets, the more powerful the data becomes. You know, I can see us going into utilizing machine learning to provide, you know, recommended actions for these small business owners to take. So for example, there might be a day when we're forecasting low sales for maybe a plumber in Austin, Texas, and our product recommends maybe a targeted offer to drive more sales that particular day. So I think it's tough to say where we'll be, but we, you know, with the data, it's all going to be focused on automating actions for these small businesses, helping them play on a more level playing field with the large enterprise Fortune 500 companies out there.
For sure. And as you mentioned, it's only going to get better as you continue to bring more data in and bring more businesses into the fold. It's just going to get smarter and smarter. And you're going to have more of these case studies and things like that of, hey, here's something that really works or what have you, right?
Exactly.
So, okay, we love to end with a segment that we call our Fast Five Questions, Rapid Fire. Barry, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Make a prediction about the future of payments that you expect will happen in the next 12 to 24 months.
All right. Well, I've spent most of my time on the acquiring acceptance side of the credit card industry. So I think we're going to see a major M&A transaction in that space where you're going to see a non-traditional player like Square, PayPal, Apple, Amazon, Google. I see them acquiring a major processor, someone like a First Data, Worldpay, mm-hmm. TSYS, Discover, or even American Express.
What's one cool piece of payment-related technology that you've come across recently, unrelated to your company, that particularly impressed you?
My son is the one that inspired this, but I am fascinated with the Amazon Echo and its mm-hmm. capability to use voice transmission to purchase goods and have them delivered to your home, some cases within 2 hours. I've got a neighbor that is constantly having these Amazon's goods delivered, and I'm just amazed that it gets them within 2 hours. I think this will become the norm in the future where we simply make voice commands to make our purchases and have those products and services delivered with amazing speed and accuracy.
I love that. I think you're exactly right. And now I'm just thinking about it in my life. Multiple times a day, you know, I'll notice like I'm out of cat litter and I'm like, oh, I got to get cat litter. Got to get cat litter. And then it'll take me remembering it like 5 different times and then I'll finally do it. But what if I could just order it? I got to set that up.
Because it's top of mind. And if you can just get it out of your mouth, then it's taken care of.
Exactly. Exactly. In the next 5 years, most Americans will make a purchase with either Bitcoin, Apple Pay, or some other thing. Which one and why?
You know, there's a lot of excitement about Bitcoin out there, but I feel like Apple Pay is really going to take off. I'm increasingly seeing the Apple Pay icon at more and more points of sales, and I'm using the app more and more frequently myself. And it seems like it's finally easier and quicker to pay with Apple Pay than it is to actually pull that credit card out of my wallet nowadays.
Sure.
And with those authorizations on a chip card, you know, taking 5 to 10 seconds, I just see Apple Pay making a big dent. I can actually see Apple Pay, you know, enabling Bitcoin to be used as one of their electronic currencies.
Absolutely. What's one piece of advice you would have for someone who's considering the payments industry as a career?
You know, the payments industry has been under the radar screen for, you know, high school and college graduates, my observation over the last 20 years. So I would advise them that this is one of the most exciting industries to explore as a career. The industry's rapidly changing, especially with regards to technology. There's a lot of M&A activity, a lot of investments. It's very profitable, and it's certainly attracted the attention of Wall Street, the leading investment banks, along with the leading consulting firms, not to mention all the big technology companies out there like Amazon, Google, PayPal, Apple, and Samsung. So in fact, when you look at the public payment companies out there like Visa, MasterCard, Square, Worldpay, Global Payments, First Data, Evo, and many, many others, they're beating the market and they're beating it by a wide margin. So I would say it's just a very attractive industry to get into. You can play a lot of different roles and, you know, it's probably going to be a great career for you where you'll be happy with what you're doing and you're making good money at the same time.
Absolutely. All right, last one. What's the best business advice you have ever received, and from whom?
You know, this is probably one of my first bosses after I got out of the military, and he gave me some good advice when I showed up at the office, and I was really humbled by the number of bright people that we had working there. Folks with really strong credentials, like going to business school at Harvard, Wharton, Stanford, Chicago. And my boss came back to me and he said, Barry, you know, smart people are a dime a dozen, but it's the people with a strong work ethic that put their egos aside, listen to advice, have a passion to learn, and are efficient with their time. Those are the ones that tend to be the most successful. So that's what I always try to think about, especially when I'm around a lot of smart people.
Right. Just keep working hard and do that, because you can often do very well for yourself.
Yep. And then, you know, one of the things I found also is just bring a smile to work. It simply puts a whole workplace into a better mood.
Absolutely. Barry, I wanted to thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This was really, really informative.
Well, Scott, I really appreciate your time today. I always love the chance to get the word out on Womply. And fortunately, people are listening to you, and we're getting lots of incoming calls asking to know more about our products. So thank you for the business.
Absolutely. And as a reminder for folks listening, if you are interested in what Womply can do for your business, go ahead and check them out at womply.com. They've got a lot of great things going on, and you've just heard a lot of reasons why they have a lot of value to add. So that's it for our interview today, which means that it is time to award our Small Business Organization of the Week. Each and every episode, we want to highlight business groups and organizations doing great work advancing the interests of entrepreneurs and small businesses, helping business people connect, being positive influences in their local communities, and more. And these organizations are nominated by you, our listeners. So if you ever think of one that you believe deserves to be highlighted, don't hesitate to let us know. You can send an email to scott@sorpay.com, and we may just mention it. But for this week, we are happy to award Rural Partners. Rural Partners is a member-driven forum that links individuals, businesses, organizations, and communities with public and private resources to maximize the potential of rural Illinois. And they have a number of goals. First, to strengthen the leadership capacity in rural Illinois. Second, to promote rural community and economic development activities. Third, to increase collaboration among local governments and communities in Illinois. Fourth, to influence public policy by representing the comprehensive needs of rural residents. Fifth, to maintain points of contact for information, assistance, and resource development. Sixth, to participate in federal and state government initiatives for rural development. Seventh, to encourage private/public partnerships for rural communities and economic development. And finally, to enhance, to promote, and to acknowledge the individual and collective efforts of the membership. Obviously, this is important work. Not only citizens, but small businesses too are helped. So they are well deserving of recognition. If you'd like to learn more about them, you can connect online at ruralpartners.org. Many congrats to them. Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like what we do here, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening platform is. We'll be back with another episode very soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of PayPod, brought to you by Soar Payments. Soar Payments is a leading merchant services provider for e-commerce, high-risk, and hard-to-place businesses. If you'd like to get the latest PayPod episode sent to you automatically, subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher, or visit soarpay.com/podcast.